Hello, hello, hello. This is Samuel Archer, your host for the Musilog Magazine podcast. And we have a special group in the building. They go as Money Cat, not Muni Cat, but Money Cat, because they're all about that money, baby. I'll ask them some questions on that as we go. But I want to welcome you guys to the show. How are you today?
We're doing so good. We're super excited to be here. It is very early where you are, but we're kind of in mid-afternoon as we speak. So
we're in sunny London right now.
Sunny London.
And what a welcome.
You're in London. Shout out to the folks in London.
That's right.
And I wanted to get you guys on here because there's so much happening, and we didn't officially meet, but we did a post for you guys on Musilog, and you guys took it and ran, and we were like, okay, we gotta get these folks on here.
That's
because they're loving the Musilog vibe, and you know, so it's just really cool to at least reach out to you. I haven't stalked you, as I said before. So we're all going to learn about you today. And we're going to, you know, my audience, I'm sure, is going to be so excited to learn about you guys as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you guys, we're going to go all around the place. All right. We were just talking about the mastering of your new single. You guys are going to have some vinyl coming. Yeah. And it's happening in a historic place. So maybe you can tell my audience about that historical place that you're going to master the final version of your new single, Follow the Leader.
We are very excited because, we have our first ever full-length record coming out in like the spring.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to be celebrating it. We've been releasing the songs from the record waterfall style. So basically single by single, we've kind of been dripping it out and releasing a music video and kind of giving them their own moment. Mm-hmm. But it's going to culminate with this vinyl record that we are having mastered tomorrow for vinyl at Abbey Road Studios.
At the historic Abbey Road.
So we're very excited.
Mm-hmm. Very, very fun.
Yeah.
Shout out to the folks around Abbey Road, and who knows, guys, they may do a historic picture just like the Beatles. We'll see what they do.
We
got to send them a picture. We'll get one outside of the
You know what? Please do. Please do.
We've been there before. It's every time you turn a corner, it's something that you're like, because we're big Beatles fans, but like Aretha and like Ray Charles and like frickin' James Taylor. Like, there's just so many artists that have recorded there in all the movie scores. They did Star Wars. They did Harry Potter. They did. So every time you walk by any room and you peek in the window, it's like it triggers a memory. It's stuff you've seen your whole life if you're a music fan. So it's really, really exciting.
But also, what I was so kind of surprised by when we went to the Abbey Road the last time was how much, like, yes, all of that's true. Everybody that works there knows how cool their job is. So everyone's really happy. But also it just feels, you know, like when you go to a recording studio, the vibe is just recording studio. Yeah. It smells like a recording studio. I'm sure a lot of the folks hanging out with us know
she
what
said
I'm
it
talking
smells
about.
Smells like a recording.
No, like
in a good way though.
Yeah,
like
it smells
the
like
wood.
I know, because you gave me some flashbacks, and
exactly.
We had to worry about the smell a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and it's just something you don't really think about, like walking into Abbey Road after spending so much time in other recording studios and kind of feeling at home there.
Yeah, it's not a museum.
You know?
It's
a working studio.
Every day they're making records there still, and they've been making them like that for decades, and they're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that part was cool. It didn't feel like it was like
we quickly felt right at home, and we weren't expecting that. We were expecting to like be on Best Behavior all day.
Yeah.
But we were able to like take our
shoes off and hang out.
Okay. You know, I hope I can experience that one of these days. You know,
you will.
Get over there and check it out. I like that. You guys are prophetic. You put it in me in the future there. Hallelujah, I receive it.
We'll see you there.
So introduce yourselves to my audience. I like the names, but I let you guys say the names so I don't mess it up. And, you know, talk about how the group started and all of that.
Here we go. I'm Khalid Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a producer and a musician and a songwriter.
Mm-hmm. I'm Kate 08, or Kate, whatever you want. But I'm also a producer and a songwriter and a vocalist. We both do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Money Cat's just like 50-50 our baby. In real life, we're married, so it kind of is just like our child.
Yeah.
Right.
And fake life.
Yeah.
No, we are. We're married. We're married. We've been married for a year. Mm-hmm. We've been
together. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But we were both musicians for many years before we were married. In fact, we met at a show performing with different projects. I had a rock band called The Zoo, and she was with her solo project.
808.
And so we started hanging out. And for a long time, we didn't make music together. We just kind of kept it separate because, like, I was genuinely a fan of what she did. And I didn't want to mess it up. I was like, I'm not going to add anything to, like, you, this is good, you know? So then and we decided we'd start a new project that was completely different so that we'd have you know, sometimes with projects you have like expectations or fans think it's supposed to sound a certain way. Or so we're just like, we're starting a whole new thing. That's just what comes out of us. It's not your music. It's not my music. It's our music.
So I think the question that we ultimately asked ourselves was, what made you originally at the very beginning want to devote your life to music? What was it? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was the Spice Girls. So that was easy because, you know, they're just my North Star. They're my favorites. And for you, it was sort of like old school.
Yeah, like golden age hip hop. Like I had an outlet I did a bunch of rock and roll stuff, and the rock and roll had some hip hop in it. But ultimately, what got me excited when I was a kid, what I loved most about music was hip hop. Me and my brother had turntable. We had samples.
All right.
So that's what originally I loved. But as a music fan, you start changing, you start growing, you start. So then I started getting into like rock and roll. And then in Ohio, when I was young, I lived in Ohio. There was people I knew. They were all musicians. We were all playing guitar. We started like a garage rock band. And then that But we were just like, okay, what do I not have an outlet for? Like,
consolidate this to our purest love.
Yes. What do we love the most? Like when you're a little kid and it got your attention, that was kind of the vision behind Money Cat. So it was to take our two deepest connections to music and find a way to
smush them together
and to be homage or to homage them and to get to express that part of ourselves. And you sometimes with musical projects, it's good to have some bumpers to keep you focused. And that was something we both really were passionate about. And we started it and it's
evolved since then. I mean, once we get real comfortable with what we bring to the table together and how we work and things like that, you can start to deviate. Like, what if we added some 90s rock into this? Or what if we, you know, did this, but we kind of knew by then, like, what the Money Cat voice is, what we bring, what our collective artistic voice is. And then we can, like, kind of have fun with it from there by, like, breaking the rules once we establish them. You know?
That's we always try to talk about that with people. When you talk about like collaborating, you have to let go of just you, and you have to make new collaboration. Like, what is us? And that's some way of guiding it. And it's been very, very rewarding and super duper fun to do. You know,
it's cool. I feel like we both made music the whole time. I mean, Khalid's Rock Band is my favorite band. They're so cool.
And I love their music so much.
I do feel like, although I think The Zoo is just, I think that they deserve to be the most famous band in the world. I love them so much. I do think that the world was ready. They, like, when we started working together, the world kind of went, we're interested.
Yeah,
like,
we got a lot of it. It seemed to get people's attention a lot quicker than some of the other things we've done.
So how many years are we talking that you've been married for a year? So we're not counting that part of it, but like before, we're talking about a span of 10 years, maybe even.
We got together as Money Cat in 2016.
Which is way longer ago than it feels like it.
Yeah.
Because we lost a couple years of the pandemic there. You know what I mean?
We lost two of our hot years.
Yeah, we lost two of our hot years. But we got
that's right.
7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So seven years. Okay. We put out a fair amount of music at that time, but this is our first
more
full
singles,
length record. Yeah.
And then we did a mixtape.
We did two or three EPs.
Yeah, basically, you know, when you're an independent artist You have to make a little budget go a long way when you're like the
captain of your own ship. That's so true. That is so true.
And the second you drop a full length, everybody's so excited for a day and a half, and then they go, when's the next thing coming out? And so not all of the songs get their time to shine, and you spend all of this money and it's just over so fast. So what we've been doing the singles kind of every month or every month and a half, every 2 months, 3 months, whatever, but more of a single mindset. And then we stepped out and did a little bit of a mixtape thing with some interludes through it, like kind of hip hop inspired. But then we decided we were ready to do a full length. We had enough songs to do a full length and they all kind of felt like they told a story together. But we didn't want to just, again, blow our whole load and have everybody be like, what's next? Yeah. So we were like, let's waterfall release them digitally. And how can we make the album release itself once they're all out special? Mm-hmm. By doing our first vinyl, we're going to do a beautiful tour. We're going to
you got to do everything and you got to keep the drama, you know? It's just a great way to keep connecting with people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because if you connect with somebody once and you give them 12 songs, they might go, oh, that was cool. And then they drift away. Yeah. But if we can keep them excited, like, hey, here's a new song. Here's a new song. They can come along with us and they can see how we're changing and how we're growing and what we're doing. And we can get that feedback from, even from them. You know what I mean? Which, it's like when you do live, you quickly learn what people like. You know what I'm saying? Like you get that feedback from the audience, from their energy sometimes. So it's just kind of nice to be able to release stuff and to be able to get feedback rather than just giving out 10, 12, 20 songs at one time and then just going like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. And I also think that for us, we were really passionate about the visual component to our music. Mm-hmm. So we really love making our own music videos. Mm-hmm. By the time the record comes out, we will about have a visual album too, because them and spacing them out a little bit like that, each single, we make a music video for it. Yeah. I think there's two that we're going to need to play catch up with, which is because we did one drop that was three songs at once, and we only made a video for one of them. But we will have a visual component to nearly every single song by the time the record's out, which I think is really, really exciting and special too. If you hear us live and then you go and you want to check it out, there's just going to be a world of visuals for you to get lost in, plus the vinyl, and we're a little extra. But
I like the strategy. I like the strategy because it's everyone has to find a way to bring their bring their offerings to the table. Now, I did see a piece of your last video. It was very mind-blowing. You guys had a lot of different, I don't know, who was the crazy person in the room putting that all together?
we basically...
We need an adult in the room.
Yeah.
Because we're always
we're always
that's cool, and we should do this. Yeah, you're right. And
yeah.
And we just
let me ask you, was the editor pulling his head out?
We edited it.
Well, you guys did the editing too, so you guys were pulling your hair out.
Actually, we weren't pulling our hair out, and here's why. We made this video in a very strange way where we knew we needed to make a video and we were kind of like behind the ball on it, but our wonderful PR person, Pam, she needed it. And the song was coming out in 2 weeks. And she was like, I need this video asset. Can you get it to me by like Wednesday? That was like a week and a half later. We were like, we need a video. So what
most people would do their simplest video at that point. We did our most ambitious video.
Yeah. You guys went out. Yeah, you guys went out with this one.
It was pretty crazy. But
what we did was we had salt because we knew we only had so many days to film it. And we also knew it was very ambitious. So we did an animatic. So we edited the video before we filmed the video. So we knew exactly what shots we needed to get for which line and where. We cut out a lot of the fat. So actually, I would say
this one was one of the easier ones.
The editing was the easiest.
Yeah.
Part of it.
We literally just, we developed each mm-hmm. image and each shot and each angle. And each, this is like what I guess normal and smart filmmakers do all the time. But usually with mm-hmm. music videos, you shoot some performances, you shoot some cool locations, and then you go back and you make the magic happen. Mm-hmm. This was like, we broke down every second. And we have an animatic that if you play it next to each other, they, you can see that they kind of line up pretty, pretty darn good. And it may just be like, sometimes it'll just be like, you know, a still image of, you know, there's a head here and a thing here, and we made a move to remind, mm-hmm. it's silly. But for this one, it was very ambitious. And we started with basically, we didn't want to make a mini movie, but we mm-hmm. wanted to make a movie about what the song was about. So we kind of took three mini vignettes that were symbolically what the song was about, rather than like a, sometimes you make a music video and it's like a separate entity. It's almost like another telling, it's another dimension. Mm-hmm. Like you have mm-hmm. a mini movie about it. It's not really what the song is about, but it's like related. This was really kind of digging into the symbolism of the song and what we felt the song was about. And so we created three little vignettes and did them. It's just
it was well done. And you know, I'm thinking my audience, you know, there'll be some up and coming artists and so on. And
yeah.
I do it the other way. Well, the ones that I've uh-huh. done before, it's done the other way, where you get some of this, some of that, and then yep. you try to put it all together.
We do that too.
You guys, I know, but I'm just saying for this particular video, you sort of did approach. Some prep work. You kind of went a little Steven Spielberg on it a little bit. You try to say
we went a little Spielberg, absolutely. A little bit of the cubes.
Yeah, very, very Stanley Kubrick. We really like Stanley Kubrick.
Okay, yes. It's pretty good. And so now when you're traveling now, but where are you based when you're in the U.S. normally?
Los Angeles. Actually sunny Los Angeles.
Actually
sunny. Today we're in sarcastically sunny London, but yes. we're based in, we live in Studio City.
It is a little gray and rainy today out here. Yeah. But we live in Los Angeles.
So tell me this other thing. Now, whenever you go live, do you put like a band together or is it pretty much electronic? What's your live experience like?
It depends on
kind of all, but
the show. Yeah. If we get the opportunity and there's maybe a bigger budget for the show, like in a perfect world, we would have a band supporting us.
And we've done shows with like drums, bass, sax, keyboards, like dancers. Mm-hmm. We had cheerleaders at the one. And one we did at university, we had the marching band come out and do stuff.
So, I mean,
we really like to scale it up when we can, but we also don't want that to stop us from performing because that's really hard to pull off consistently. So
it's the preparation and so on. Yeah,
I feel like most mm-hmm. of the time it's the two of us on stage having fun and
sometimes I'll have a turntable or samplers or that kind of stuff live because we can do that kind of anywhere.
And
the nature of, to be honest, I feel like the nature of Los Angeles shows, a lot of times they'll have like showcases or there'll be a night with like six artists on the bill and you're all going to do half an hour or something like that. It's kind of, it's not rude, but it's a little bit not really the culture. And a lot of the pop shows we do are like a rapper to a track or a pop singer to a track or whatever. So it's just a little bit of a different vibe, I think.
So we might do that and bring in break dancers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so it's different.
Nice.
You got to roll with whatever the moment is asking for.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're doing a full set of our own material and we're kind of in charge of the show, we like to have, you know, at least like a drummer and bass, but we can also do it with just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me this, in terms of you guys, pretty much, because it seems like you're handling primarily most of your marketing, your concept, you know, you're producing the music and everything. What quick advice, that's not good, but what advice you can throw out for, you know, other upcoming artists that's looking on and probably would be inspired by your story. What nice nugget you can give them. And those who would like to be in love while they do it too. You know, give us both
Yeah.
Both scenarios.
Those are two really awesome questions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, then there's tons of things we could say, but if I think about the like the one of the quickest, most important things I think I would break it down to is to remember that if you lead with your vision, if you lead with your creativity, not everyone's going to get it. But if you do it consistently and long enough, you'll find the right people. So, you know, imagine, I mean, if you didn't know music and I just showed you a Bob Marley song, you know, and you didn't know it was Bob Marley, you might be like, oh, I don't know, the recording isn't great, or you could find a reason to not like it. Mm-hmm. But that's not missing the point. So I think of it as like, do what you believe in and you really believe you're passionate about, and do it, and you will get better at it. And you will hate your second song when your third song comes out. If you're doing it right, you'll keep growing. And you will attract the people that get it, you know, because like if you grew up in a world where, you know, your vision is you want to mix polka and heavy metal, people are going to think you're crazy, right? You know what I mean?
Until you show them enough that they realize why.
Yes.
You'll
get it. You'll find your scene. And so that's the general answer. And then the love answer, I think it's the same kind of thing. You know, when you collaborate, we talked a little bit about this. When you collaborate, you're making something that is not you.
It's sort of.
It's us.
Almost. It's not the opposite advice, but it is like altered. If you're going to do that with somebody else.
Yeah.
Even if it's not. Like romantic love, if you're just in a band or whatever, and it's you kind of have to let go of the reins a little. You need to trust that who you're collaborating with is awesome.
Yeah, because you have to be a genuine fan, or at least know that they have the potential to make something great. Because I think that's where sometimes it comes out, where if you think you have to have what your decision was. It breaks it. It's like, well, then just you go make that song then. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Go into the collaboration knowing that what you're going to make with that person is not, it's just not what you would make by yourself. And that's okay. That's why you're doing it.
You're making
the other person's sort of strengths.
You have to respect that and trust that they have what they're going to bring to the table is going to make it better than what you could do alone, or at least different than what you could do alone. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely times where we try to, I feel like a lot of times we're making videos, we're making songs, we're making whatever. It is kind of like we're trying to blow the other person's mind. Like I might try to get a reaction out of her. And if she reacts, I'm like, that's a good line.
Or I feel like a lot vice of versa. That you would think I wrote, Khalid wrote, and vice versa.
Yeah. Like if you know us as people, because my rock band was more vague and was more like whatever. It's just a little more darker and whatever. But so sometimes I'm writing like, the real pop
Max
banger.
Martin, like it just feels good to say
the
kind
good
of
mouth feel stuff, because she's taught me about that world from her background in pop music, so now I'm like fascinated by that, you know, and vice versa. I think you write like the kind of headier, more profound lyric that, you know what I mean,
I'm just trying to impress you,
you know, I'm trying to impress you, so maybe that's the advice. Try to write something with the other person that you think is going to get them, you know, to react. That's what you want an audience to do. So if she laughs, if she, she goes,
oh my God.
If I can get a physical, that's a good thing, right? Because if someone's indifferent, who cares?
I like that. I like that. I think this would be the highlight of the interview right here.
I think we're kind of you're asking good questions. You're making us come up with what
really
I do think. It's having a respect and a love for your collaborator, whoever they are, that you think you can get them to really be passionate about something, because that's the kind of stuff that matters, right? And you don't have to be passionate about everything, I guess. Mm-hmm. But just being somebody that's even just from working in bands and stuff like that. You know, and I would usually bring a song to the table with lyrics and we'd work it out together, you know what I mean, as a band. But there's times where I brought it and I could just kind of see no one was really,
they didn't really excited. Feel it.
Like, and it's like, all right, trust that you have more creativity inside you and you can make something better. You can always come back with a new, better idea that gets you everybody excited.
Yeah,
and that's really important. You know, sometimes I've heard collabs where, not that this is in your case, but you know, you might have heard a collab where you're like, I don't know if I like how this collab went. One of the ones I do remember that I really like, I even played it recently, there's a collab that Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson did called Just Good Friends. I don't know if you guys know that record.
I don't know that
record. If you don't know that record, you check it out. It's a record called Just Good Friends. I had a vocal consultant, this was many moons ago. He said, you know that Michael and Stevie, they have the same vocal texture, right? I said, I said, so what's the difference? He said, well, it's the way they use it. So you know, that being said, they're both on this record. And at some point, you can't tell if it's Stevie or Mike.
Wow.
So it was really such, the way how it was written, the way how they approached it as vocalists. But I like, you sort of remind me of that a little bit. Based on even on the energy and the vibe, and I really like that. So
I'm gonna quote you. I'm gonna say, you know, Samuel Archer once said that we're kind of like Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. You know, he said we're a lot like
that. You're gonna see it. It's gonna be on every Instagram post for the next 6 months.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a good blow up. I can work with that. That's a good blow-up right there. So now you were doing dropping singles as you go. You have a full length coming up in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess folks would pretty much know what they're gonna expect with the record, or are there gonna be some surprises, or
there'll be a couple songs that they haven't heard.
There will be some songs but they haven't heard.
This is just one of those things that, you know, like as everyone's approach to consuming music changes, I feel like everyone's approach to creating music is just, it's affected, you know, like if you live in the world, you get affected by the world. You know what I mean? So
yes,
I think that releasing those songs like that, that's why we decided we'd print it on vinyl. Yeah. So there's more of a reason to celebrate its release than. But there still will be a couple songs on it that people haven't heard.
It'll probably be about an EP's length amount of unheard.
Of unheard stuff. So there'll definitely be some surprises. Yeah. But a lot of the stuff will be, this is the songs we've been introduced to over the last year or two, but now I get to have them in place and on vinyl, and some new releases as well. And some different versions maybe we could even do too.
And I also feel like from a release strategy, the record started pretty bright and poppy, and it's as we go along getting a little more corrupt and a little darker.
Yeah.
As you can see, Follow the Leader is sort of like the next snap.
Yeah, it is definitely a little different to the song that you all released when we did that initial.
And
so yes, it's definitely.
There's maybe one-ish more bright songs that we're still gonna put out, but for the most part a lot of it is more brooding and more like aggressive.
It's a little kind darker of, right now. Yeah,
like what we have left. It's sort of, the album's going to be called Age of the Scorpio, and I am a Scorpio, and I mean it's what we were talking about. This isn't, you know, it's not so cohesive and well thought through, but we sort of started going, you know, you're trying to think of what order to release these songs, and as a Scorpio, I always kind of wanted to be, when I was little, I feel like my cousins were like cute Aquariuses and things like that. And I always wanted to be something cuter like that. And I was so afraid of the darkness that always came along with being a Scorpio. Like
mysterious, and they're like, everyone always says like, they're like yeah, there's like all this like, and they're like a scorpion, you know, they're not they're not a cute little like lion or
and
a,
I'm just goat. Trying to be Baby Spice over here, and it's like it's so not what I was trying to be. And so I think like I was always a little, you know, more bubbly on the surface and things like that, and I feel like kind of release strategy of this record, how we've been releasing like funner songs into these darker songs, has sort of been embracing that
that's inner darkness,
that darkness in the
world. You know, the world is, there's a lot of things to be upset about, clearly, you know what I mean, in the world right now. It's a pretty there's a lot of things going on
it's
that
a
are
pretty sus place.
Yeah, there's lots of angry, there's lots of reasons to be revolted. There's lots of reasons to be sad. There's a, so I think that that's part of, you know, part of all music. Now, that being said, we always talk about how when you, when you're your own artist, or you're, when you're, when you're an independent artist, you have to kind of keep a big levee wall, like a big, you know, concrete wall between the creation of the music and then, like, we talk about, like, release strategies and stuff. Like,
you have
to make the music for, you know, and we almost feel like it's like you have to almost, like, switch brains.
It's a whole other, it's a whole nother way of expressing.
Yeah, like, but you have to do it. Unless you were blessed and have a record deal and all these people run around doing it for you, you have to kind of put on your, you know, your marketing hat or your whatever.
I could help you clarify that.
Yeah.
What's going on in here really is what used to happen in the record company. You know, the creators do the record, and then you had the business people coming and we're going to do this, and then you had a little static in the middle because they can't all agree. So what's happening now, all of that is in your head.
We have the static and we have the two sides fighting.
So you have the business side, you have the creative side, and they're like, well, this is not going to work, and how is that going to sell, and how are we going to market this,
and
And
the thing that is hard about that is you kind of want to just be an artist, but you have to kind of fall in love with the release strategy part of it. You have to find the art within that.
Yes.
Like, because if not, it can be pretty mind numbing. It's not why we got into this business, you know.
But that kind of goes back to what we were saying before about, like, keeping your all the creatives always wanted to have the control, right?
And you know now what we
mean? And now you do by. You have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the necessity, you need to do it. So we try to make sure that what we're doing is another form of the art. So if we have to make our own album art because we don't have a, you know, a huge team of create, you know, people just to, okay, how are we going to add to the song? How are we going to make the song make more sense? If we're going to make a music video, how are we going to add another dimension to the song that can help it always supporting the primary art, which is the song? Mm-hmm. But there's all these supplemental art. Moments of expression is maybe a better way to say it.
Yeah.
There's all these little moments of where you have an opportunity to express the song's meaning in a different way that could help maybe get more people to be enthralled or have a reaction to it.
Actually, I think that kind of goes back to that one question you were asking about, like, how do you get people on board with what you're doing as an independent artist if you have to do it all? And that's kind of by looking at the release strategy in addition to just making the song itself as an opportunity to reinforce your art in different ways. Mm-hmm. That is a really good way to build a universe around you that makes it really kind of clear who you are as an artist, which makes it easier for people to get on board. So that's like a good thing about being indie as hell. For us is because there's no question. I mean, every art that any piece of art that leaves our little desk is we made it. You know what I mean?
So it's a part of you. Well, you guys seem to do it so well so far. You know, I've heard artists that used to be signed to a major and then they're working by themselves, you know, and before they would say, we would just turn in the album. And call them every day after and say, so when is it coming out? And what's going on with this? So now when they're independent, they finish the album and they're like, well, who are we handing it to? handing it to yourself, right?
We've never really had the luxury of
I do think, talk about your goods and your bads. I think because we didn't grow up in Los Angeles, we grew up in Ohio, in Youngstown, Ohio, which is like a Rust Belt, like kind of DIY gritty. Got some. They always talk about that Midwest work ethic. You know what I mean? Because we didn't grow up with any idea that anyone was going to help us make our music.
No delusion.
There was no delusion that anyone ever was going to take the album from me and go promote. So when we grew up, it was like, okay, we got to make our own flyers. We got to make our own website. We got to make our own album art. We got to make our own. We need to buy a light. So when we play the show by ourselves, okay, I'm going to go play an acoustic show to make 40 more bucks.
And it never felt weird to us to do that.
Yeah, you were responsible for everything.
And I think when we moved out to Los Angeles, people were like, wait, Like we'll make websites for our friends.
We make it for us, so our friends are artists.
You know what I mean? We're just like, well, sure, yeah. I could do it in half of an afternoon.
Yeah, like, they're like,
you know,
in LA and in other, and it, this is not bad. This is just different, mm-hmm. right? But like in Nashville and LA and in more cities that have more of a music industry per se, there's the, so the good part of it is I have friends that are like the best top liner ever. That's their, because they got to sharpen one skill. You know what I mean? Like they got to do, they're the best beat maker, but they don't have to do anything else because that's their role in a bigger collaborative machine where we have to do everything ourselves. And there's good and there's bad in that, you know, and the good we've been celebrating this whole conversation. Like, yes, you got, you know, but there's the hard part is, you know, you got to do it all. So
I think it all comes together.
Yeah.
And even if you're an artist and you're listening at home and you're like, well, I don't know how to do graphic design. I don't know how to do it. I was like, well, neither did we.
Yeah.
And you just, you start to learn. And even if your first album art is literally, you're just like, I don't know. I took a picture from this, you know, from this royalty website and messed it up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or you drew it on a napkin and take a picture of it on your iPhone. We have friends that have take a picture on their iPhone. They take it into an app on their iPhone. They edited it on
the
iPhone.
And they upload.
That's true. That's totally true. Yeah. So you can do that now. If you have a phone, you know, you can maybe do it. If also, you don't have a phone, you can draw it by hand and make your friend take a picture.
When I started producing music, I literally went to YouTube and I said, how to make a pop song. And I hit search and I found a video and I just started. I just learned from there.
Yeah.
$0. Oh, wow. I think Logic was like $200 at the time. So I like,
well, we had a stolen version.
I think I had a stolen version at first.
Yeah, now
but then
we pay.
I decided I could do it, I paid.
This was the Wild West. This was Pirate Bay. And this
is like, guys, you could get free versions of, but I know I'm just messing.
No, exactly.
Well, first, I actually started in Reason, which was such a hard one start in.
Oh, you were a Reason head. I'm a Propeller head too.
Nice. I was a Reason head for a while. And then once I realized how much more user friendly Logic is, I was like, what the hell am I doing? So you know,
it's, and I was a Pro Tools guy that thought that nothing could be as good as Pro Tools.
Pro
Tools guys can be, and she was using Logic and I was like, this isn't real. I just thought it was what's it called, GarageBand. I'm like, this is just GarageBand. Like, I didn't get it.
Well, it is. I mean, GarageBand is the baby brother to Logic, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Yes,
it's
right. You're right. Yeah.
But whatever you got, whatever you have at your disposal, you can use. You know what I mean? Like, I know people that are using apps on their phones to make beats that are free. You know what I mean? Like, so you can do whatever you want. Yeah. And then as you get better and you can devote more of your energy or your income or whatever, we all have finite resources, so but you can start with whatever you can start with and then just keep going from there, and then when it makes more sense, you'll get to a point where you're like, this is my job, I have to do this right, you know what I mean, like even if the tools of your trade, if you're a guitar player and you get a guitar from a pawn shop that's $40 and it gets you to where you need to be, cool. After a while you start
making a little money, or
this is my trade, this is, I'm a craftsman, this is like a hammer or a saw, like I gotta buy a guitar that sounds good or plugs in, you know, immediately or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So
doesn't have to mean it costs a lot of money though.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So one, I have two other questions. What gives you the drive? What makes you driven for
the drive?
Yeah. Because you guys are driven and I can feel that you're driven. So where's that drive coming from?
For me, I've always had no delusions that anybody would need to help me get where I wanted to go. But I also I always had this beautiful delusion that, I think a lot of people would view it as a delusion. I view it as reality. It's my mindset that I just... Maybe I'm just lucky to have it or whatever, but I truly believe you look around you, there are people making money, making music. They're making a living, making art. And like, why can't it be us? you know? So I feel like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of excuses or reasons to give up because it's hard. But I feel like what Colin and I have done is we sort of have found a way to operate outside of that system and do it anyways, you know, and not need them, not need people to give us, to grant us access to anything. We're just going to give us permission or whatever.
Give yourself approval. You give yourself approval.
Yeah, I just always believed, and you know, I do credit maybe the Spice Girls. They told me I could do anything I wanted. So I feel like I've just always truly, that's sort of been what, like my motor is always just like, somebody's out there doing what I want to do. The reason why is because I see them doing it. So like, why can't I, you know? What about you? I feel like you're pretty driven. You love, Colin just loves making things.
I just like making, like literally my whole life. That's what I, like when I was little, I would draw.
But you would book your own tours.
Yeah. And then, well, then I saw the piano in my house, started playing the piano. Like I've always just needed to make things. I think that we're a good balance because she has that, she has a drive more, maybe a little more inclined towards results and finishing things, where I'm just a little more like, oh, make, like, oh, just make some, you know, I'm a little more like that. But I do think it's the same kind of thing.
You're still very driven.
Yes. Like, I think maybe just compared to you.
I'm pretty, well, that's
it provides a balance.
No, I'm the driven one, but
it's
she's
very,
more,
I, there, someone could definitely make an argument for me being like delusional, and I get that.
I love
but
it.
I still, I don't have any regrets.
Yes.
No notes. We're doing okay. Yes. Like I'm happy.
I think that if without, since we're being real here. So if this is too much, you know, I do think that, you know, like I said, the asterisk of we're being a little mushy here, but we're keeping it real. We're all music lovers, right?
Yes.
And I believe that there are songs that have changed my life at different moments. I believe that there are songs that have given me the strength to do what I needed to do. And sometimes they're happy, fun songs and pop songs. Sometimes they're deep, dark songs. It doesn't even matter. So I just almost think of it like if we can help in any way be part of that long history of artists being there for people or making a song that is the right moment, the right time, that is, it's being creative is a celebration of life. It's a celebration. You know, when you're suffering, you don't have time to create. When you're going through hell on earth, you don't have time to sit down and produce a song. So these are like the privileges of being able to create art is a celebration of being alive. And so I know that sounds really heady, but I do think that that's what keeps me going because it's like
I'm with you. I'm with both points. I like the fact that you know, you the different point of views of it, and or should I say the different angles or the different aspects, which is great. And I'm sure that go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh no, I think that's why we work together so well, is that the ideas complement each other. They're not like fighting each other. They're both kind of going the same direction, but they're two sides of it in general.
Sure. Okay. So before we go, I see us getting close to that. We're really hanging out here. We should, we could go on like this for like a good 2 hours. Huh?
We could talk all day, man. Once you get us going.
So I've started asking my guests three questions in the end. It's becoming a staple of the show. I didn't plan it out that way, but you probably looked at one of the shows, huh? You know what I'm going to ask you.
We didn't know. We didn't stalk you. So we're excited. We have no idea what takes.
We got to stalk you more. We wanted to get a bit of
stalk. So I asked three questions, and sometimes folks feel violated, you know. But you know, most of the times they're game to go ahead because you know they have nothing to hide.
Okay.
So you guys are game, by the way.
Yeah. We'll tell you if we're violated. I'll be like, that's violating. So we'll tell you. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, we're all right.
So what is your favorite color?
Oh my god, the nerve! I'm just joking.
My favorite color changes with my mood. I feel like
nothing is easy with us.
I feel like I just entered my green era.
Yeah, I feel like recently. Most people are like, I like tan.
No,
we're like,
I feel like the new yeah. color I've been drawn to lately is green. Before that, it was light purple. Before that, it was red. So it just sort of, but you know, it'll be months at a time, and then yes. I just change my mind and I need to get into something else. You have always had like a, you're a solid person.
I'm into bright yellow. I'm in my bright yellow.
Oh yeah, you are in your bright yellow. I'm in my bright yellow.
That was funny. So your color, your favorite color changes based on the mood. Now, is the mood, does it last for like a couple of weeks? Is it like every couple of minutes? You know, is it a, like, you know, this months. Afternoon you might like something else?
Yeah. Every 4 months, give or take.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, all right. Fashion.
Mine might move with the moon. Move
with the fashion, though, like the spring collection.
You yeah, have might that, go, I feel like it might be seasonal.
Yeah.
Like getting a little bit more into like the cozy warmth of
yeah,
olive Grayish. Greens, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So my next question is, when you're in the kitchen, what do you like to prepare? Well, I guess whoever prepares whatever.
No, wait. It's just been a while since we've been home in our kitchen.
Yeah. I make a good egg and cheese croissant.
You do.
I make a good egg and cheese croissant sandwich. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, I feel like a super loser, but I feel like really proud of my salads.
You make great salads. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's not really cooking.
That's not cooking. When you cook.
I cook. I make cook good all food. The time. I know.
Didn't you make that Mexican chicken with the adobo?
Oh, I make good taco really night. Good I do yeah, good taco really night. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good at doing because taco night, you have to make a lot of different things at one time and reverse engineer when they're going to be ready. So they're all hot at the same time.
The guacamole and the rice and the beans.
So that requires a lot of reverse engineering and prep, and then putting them on the stove in the right order. Yeah. So you use the least amount of pots and pans possible for cleaning later. I guess I do a pretty good taco night.
You do a good taco night.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Reverse engineering. I haven't heard that in a while.
Not too good at that usually in cooking, but for some reason with taco night, I got it.
Oh, you're great. She's great.
Oh, okay. I may have to try some of those tacos one of these days.
Okay, good.
And my final question on personalizing you a little bit is give us about maybe 2 to 3 artists that you have in your playlist this week.
Okay.
This week.
Well, we've been in Spain this week, so we've been listening to Rosalia because she is an angel among us. What else have we been listening to? We've been together, so our playlists have kind of been...
Because we've been traveling, I feel like we've been kind of embracing the different... We're in Ireland, and we were listening to actually a bunch of old Chieftains. Maybe the Chieftains, they're an Irish band, and the Clancy Brothers, and some more traditional stuff, because we don't know a lot of the modern stuff, but we met an artist named Kate O'Connor, and she was amazing. She was just playing on the street and she was amazing, and then we deep dove into her catalog. She's on our playlist. I mean, she's a great recording artist, but we kind of just ran into her performing on the street. Now I want to look
I'm at still art. Obsessed with Midnights by Taylor Swift, though. Today we were listening to Maroon from that record. And
So let me ask you, you met an artist on the street and she had music. She had music already on Spotify and
So Galway is a really, really big music town in Ireland. There's just music everywhere. I'm on mine.
Let's give her a shout out because
Kato. So she was I think her name. Here it is, Kato Music, Katie O'Connor. So she was just she was performing on the street and was breaking our hearts. It was so beautiful, amazing voice, really, really incredible.
But it's cool because in Galway, there's they do a rotation and it's based off of the honor system. So you would see a lot of the same people performing in different spots of
the different corners
throughout your trip. So we just kept running into her and she was making this awesome music all the time, and it kept stopping us in our tracks, so we finally went up and introduced ourselves.
Well, actually what happened is we filmed part of her set and we put it on our Instagram and we tagged her, And then we followed her, and mm-hmm. she actually followed us back. And then we saw her later, and we just said, "Hey, you're so great." And she was like, "Hey, you guys are musicians too." Because it's a small world. Then we met her another friend who just came over and was performing, who is a drummer. He did like a hand drum, and he sang with a soulful, really soulful voice. His name was Bam Artiste. So we met him. He sent us a bunch of things. We were listening to that while we were driving. He's just like got a voice, like a very, very soulful voice. And he's playing that like a hand drum and singing. He had a bunch of tracks he just sent us on our Gmail. Mm-hmm. And while we were driving around Ireland, we were just listening to our new friends. So okay. Yeah, that's on our playlist at the moment. Is mm-hmm. a lot of
it's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag, but especially I think we've been just influenced by where we're at and
musicians. that's what it is. It's we've been traveling, and so we've been kind of when you get to a place, you want to you know grab the best of the music they make.
Yeah. You see that those questions weren't bad, right?
I was worried the third one was going to be, I thought you were like, what is your favorite color, like, and what is your
favorite color,
what is the exact flying speed of a swallow. Never mind, I thought you were going to ask us some really difficult questions next.
I know we try to keep it all vibed out, and you know, we just love the whole thing. So I do appreciate you guys taking the time to be with us over here. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience that I didn't get a chance to ask you?
Well, I just real quick before you even answer that one, I want to say thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for being a place where people can discover new music. Thank you for being place that new artists can share their stuff with the world. I think that's like the most important joint that doesn't really get enough credit. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because everyone talks about music fans and musicians, but they need a place to intersect. So thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome.
And then anything else you want to say that he didn't ask us about?
So you're saying a lot of your viewers and listeners are up and coming artists themselves?
Sure. Some are. Mm-hmm. Not everyone. I mean, I do have people who... Yeah. Well, I didn't get to share this with you guys, but Musilog, we have two publications. We have Musilog magazine, which is, I normally tell people it's like the Rolling Stones. And then we have one called Musilog Woman, where it's almost like Essence magazine, where we, you know, we discuss living well topics. Mm-hmm. And although we do some, we would release some music there as well. So there's music on both platforms. But Musilog Women, you know, women has they have more things to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about health and inspiration and cooking, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. want to discuss love and mm-hmm. what they didn't do last week, and they want to do some yoga, and you know, so we have an area so the ladies could kind of free up, you know, we call it Phenomenal Women over there. So what it is, we have a readership. But we also have up and coming artists. So we're not, you know, just, we have sort of like a mixed type of a readership. And being that I'm also into music, I do have some young people that they kind of, hey, let's see what Sam is up to this weekend. They'll tune in to what I'm doing.
So, nice. I feel like Khalid and I, we really like talking to the fellow creatives.
Yeah.
And, I think that what I like to leave with people is, girls, you are capable of producing music for yourself. Mm-hmm. And also everyone in general, you're however old you are not too old to make it, because A, making it is whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And also, I just think that relieving that pressure of if you're not discovered at a gas station by the time you're 14, you're too old to be a pop star. I just think that is such a dated mentality that a lot of my friends, even me for a while, you get stuck in kind of like, oh, well, I missed my chance. So many of my friends have quarter life crises when they turn 25. They go, oh shoot, what have I done with my life? I should have just married rich, or I should have become a doctor, all this stuff. And it's like, I just think that, you know, the music industry is broken right now, and there are ways to use that to your advantage, because that's like an old music industry way of thinking, you know. So I like to challenge people to St. Vincent's, like 40 something, in almost in her 40s. Like, yeah. She's, you know, and that's not she's old. Like she's one so of
the,
hot.
Like, artist in the yeah. game. Like, she's yeah. bringing it.
Like, she's an she's adult amazing. Woman.
She's amazing.
You know what I mean? So, I would just, that's what I like to leave people with is like, get out of your head and don't make those kinds of excuses, yeah. you know, for yourself. You can definitely make a living for yourself making art without, you know.
Powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Powerful, powerful.
No, that.
That.
You're good with that?
Yeah.
Well, Money Cat, I am so thankful you guys took. You guys said yes, you know. And please keep us posted at Musilog as to whatever you guys are having. We're on the web anyway, so if you have something in LA, I'm all the way in Orlando, but at least I can post it, and someone that's in LA might see it.
Right. Come out. And when we go, we'll come and visit you in Orlando.
Come to Orlando.
Yes, please do. Please do. You know, I'm here for now until, you know, the sunshine stays so warm, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Good hang.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.